This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay? Next question. Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Hawn, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Coach Wannstedt joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline, El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Dave.
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys. Yes, got the college football season wrapped up, and now we're down to the nitty-gritty here with the NFL. So it's interesting time. Great time. Great time of year for football.
Wow, I got to tell you, that game last night, I mean, Joe Burrow was just sensational in that game. I was saying this earlier, there was a one-handed catch on the sideline where the guy didn't really have to use his hand. It was just, the ball was dropped perfectly into the breadbasket. I mean, it was one of the great throws in that game, and he had plenty of them, and that was really something special.
It was, and you know, it was funny this morning. Somebody called or texted me or something and says, God, surely the Bengals can't screw this pick up, can they?
You know,
but they were obviously making fun where he's going to be picked from. But you know what was so impressive about him? And I try to relate everything to my experiences. When Vinny Testaverde won the Heisman at the University of Miami, and we played Penn State for the national championship, that, you know, you win the Heisman, you get all these other awards. Now they start talking draft on top of it and agents. And, you know, this kid here, Joe Burrow, he was back home. They named his high school stadium after him. I mean, the kid had a lot on his plate in the last couple of weeks. And when we played in that Fiesta Bowl, Vinny was out of sync. I mean, he really was. And we look back on it and we say, you know what, we didn't handle or we didn't help him or he didn't, you know, but it wasn't handled good, all the hype and publicity. Where this kid seems like he did not get affected by it. Early in the game, I thought he had a little miscues. He threw a couple high, a few off passes, but he got right back into it. And, boy, that was, you know, when you really think of the big picture, what this kid had to deal with, with all the accolades that he received, he's a special guy, I think.
So, Dave, it's 1988, and you are the defensive coordinator at the University of Miami, and you have a defensive line coach that comes into your office, and you hire Ed Orgeron. Now he's on the top of the college football world, but what was he like then, and how have you kept in touch?
You know what? Eddie was he was a young coach then that really was no different than he was now. I mean, he was a high-energy get in your face, get his hands dirty, put his hand on the ground. He was not one of those coaches that was going to coach by sitting in a film room saying or reading it out of a magazine, this is how you do it. I mean, he was going to get down there with the guys and do it. And, he was great. We actually played LSU. I don't know if I ever told you this story or not. We played LSU when Ed was a graduate assistant his first year. And Jimmy, I had never been to Baton Rouge. We were playing them at night down there. And I remember Jimmy saying, God, I don't think our team realizes what we're getting into down there, you know, with that crowd at night. So I said, well, we got Ed. So he calls Ed up. Jimmy says after practice, Ed, tell these guys what we're getting into. He starts screaming and caging. And I don't know if it was if our play. I think our players thought it was comical. I mean, you know, but he. No one had any idea, including myself, what he said. But the veins were coming out of the back of his neck, and it was his first time, I think, ever in front of a pretty good football team there at Miami. So we went down there and beat those guys pretty good. So he felt good. He got part of that win, that's for sure.
That's fantastic. You know, it was great to hear him talk about how people made fun of his accent, people made fun of the way he looked and different stops, but he was at home. And being at LSU, everybody, you know, people, that's how people look and that's how people talk, and he fit in.
Yeah, it's a great fit for him. You're right. And somebody yesterday said, oh, man, just think he could have been the head coach at USC. And I said, you know what? I don't know if Ed, every day in front of the microphone, in front of the boosters in Southern California, you know, it's a different – I don't know if that's a fit. As good a job as he would do coaching and recruiting, you know, there's more to it than that. And I think he's in the perfect place with his personality and his background to really get the most out of that. And that's where you want to be. That's how coaches are most successful, when they get an environment that obviously they feel comfortable in and they can be themselves.
Well, Dave, while we're taking you down a memory lane, obviously the other day, Jimmy Johnson was named and welcomed into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they surprised him on Fox. And when you watched that, what were your emotions and what did you think of that?
Well, I was so excited for Jimmy, because we had been talking, you know, every week doing the shows out there. In fact, I flew back last week's show on his airplane. I might have mentioned that, and we talked about it. So what happens is they call in, and then he was talking, like Bill Belichick was on that committee voting, and he talked to Bill, and he talked to Rick Goslin and some other guys. And, you know, everybody gives an opinion, but when you vote, you don't know how guys are going to vote because it's a secret ballot. And the one thing that bothered Jimmy was he wasn't in the NFL that long, and he never, the whole time he coached at Dallas, he never got involved in any committees. He could care less about, you know, the competition committees and commissioners, little buy committees that they had to investigate this. So he never got in those circles that the Don Shula and the Marty Schottenheimer and Bill Cowers and Mike Tomlin's. These guys were always on these committees. Jimmy kind of was his own guy. I mean, and he did what he wanted to do, so he was not sure. I talked to him yesterday again. He was back in Miami, and, just so happy for him. I mean, he's so deserving. You know why? Let me make this point, then we'll move on. You know, some of these guys are getting in, winning a couple of Super Bowl or two. God bless them. No, they did not build a franchise. Jimmy Johnson is not getting enough credit. He could have, guys, been executive of the a year. They could have put him in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. He built that Dallas Cowboy team from a one-win team to a Super Bowl in 4 years, and he drafted Troy Aikman. He drafted Emmitt Smith. He drafted Leon Lett. He made the trade for Charles Haley. He did that stuff. So, you know, what Jimmy did, the coaching, yes, but don't underestimate what he did to put the Dallas Cowboy, the star, back on the map down there. It's really an incredible story.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone can argue with his accomplishments, both as a team builder and a head coach. And you know, Dave, I really enjoyed watching it on television. We saw the Bill Cowher thing and then him. And I don't know that you know, I know you're friends with Bill Cowher. I think that's a harder one to call. I think that's not as obvious an entree into that. That Jimmy seemed like a lock, and it was interesting, Dave, just to see the whole thing go down and how emotional those guys get, because, my God, that is such a life accomplishment.
Yeah, it really is. And Jimmy, you know, with the Super Bowl, we're going to be in Miami in 2 weeks with the Fox stuff doing the Super Bowl. And it's the 100th year. And, you know, he's kind of getting near the end, as we know, of this TV stuff. And, you know, it's really the timing of it, I think, was really perfect. And it was exciting. And, you know, I talked to Dan Pompey, who, you know, comes on the show with you guys.
Yep.
And, you know, what Dan told me, he says, you know, and Dan had a vote on it. And he says, I think Jimmy will get in. He says, Dan's point was, and it's, I never thought about it. He says, Look at the NFL and how they drafted and traded players on draft day and beyond before Jimmy Johnson did it at the Dallas Cowboys. Dan's point was, and his argument for Jimmy, was that this guy came in and he kind of revolutionized how draft day takes place.
Right.
Nobody had the guts to make those trades and like Jimmy did. And he says, and then all of a sudden, guys got the charts now that we used in Dallas, and everybody's into it. So I thought Dan Pompey brought up a great point.
Yeah, that trade value chart was in every draft room. I mean, everybody would consult it in order to figure it out. It's still used. It's changed a little bit. But you're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, he really did revolutionize the draft.
That was all Jimmy. That was all Jimmy. Absolutely.
All right. Dave, hold on. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about Bill Lazor and what he's going to do for the Bears offense. And also want to pick your brain a little bit about the national championship and what that run means moving forward and how we evaluate these quarterbacks as we look toward the future. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Very, very emotional moment for Jimmy Johnson getting into the Hall of Fame. And a classic move to thank all the assistants and all of the players. And obviously, Dave, a big part of that. And Dave Wanstead joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. I'm sure you have that on loop, Dave. You can watch that anytime you want. Really a great moment, as we talked about earlier. Let's talk about the Bears a little bit. So they filled out the offensive coaching staff. We know that that Bill Lazor is now the offensive coordinator, and here's a guy that has done that role before in the NFL, which makes him different than Mark Helfrich, who was fired after the disappointing 8-8 season. What do you know about Bill Lazor? And given the coaches they've added to this thing, Dave, are they suddenly going to start scoring points here?
Yeah, that's I don't know. I wish I did have an answer for you there. You know, there's a couple storylines, I think, for this. Number one, I only hired one coach in my 17 years of being a head coach. I hired one assistant coach that I hired on a third-party recommendation. Everybody else, either I knew directly, I worked with directly, or I had about two people that I trusted, you know, Jimmy Johnson and Tony Wise. If they didn't work with them, the guys wouldn't get jobs. And I just felt like that was more of a priority than the guy's resume. I do know that Matt Nagy, when he put his staff together, he never worked with Mark Helfrich. He never worked with Harry Husted. You know, I don't know about the other guys that he let go. You know, that was probably a mistake. Now, maybe he couldn't get anybody else. I don't know what the timing was. I don't know the circumstances. But to let that many guys go on the side of the ball where you're calling the plays, I mean, it stinks a little bit. I mean, you know, it makes you a little bit uncomfortable if you're a past coach like I am. You say, okay, I'm going to give Matt Nagy the benefit of the doubt, but what's going on here? What's behind it? Now, going forward, you know, I hope that he's sitting back and says, you know, that was the mistakes that I made. These guys were good coaches. I just didn't know them. Their philosophy wasn't the same. You should do all that stuff when you interview these guys, right? So let's say that Matt was young and he's learned from this experience. Now, is Bill Lazor going to make that much of a difference? I hope so. He's a good coach. He's got experience. You know, what's going to be his role along with Matt Nagy as far as calling plays? I don't know what Mark Helfrich did. You know, I'm good friends with Mark, but I have not talked to him. I mean, what was his responsibility? What was his role in putting the game plan together? You know, that's the unknown about this whole coaching staff change in my mind.
Dave, looking ahead to Championship Sunday, obviously the four teams that are there, you look at the winners last week, and they ran the ball 57% of the time. So running the football is back in vogue in the NFL playoffs. When you see the Chiefs and you see the 49ers as the favorites playing at home this weekend, which underdog do you give the best chance of maybe pulling an upset?
You know what's interesting about that is two of the jobs that I left, Pittsburgh and the Dolphins, one of the complaints was that all I did was run the ball. How about that? And you talk about coming full circle. I mean, I love it. This is my type of football. You guys know that. This is, you know, I picked Green Bay to be in the NFC Championship game a month ago because I thought they were balanced and I liked their defense. Now, coming into this week, this is going to be a different game for the Packers. Let's focus on them. Only because of, not because San Francisco runs the ball. I mean, you know, the Vikings ran the ball. I mean, this is nothing new for them. You know, Seattle runs the ball. So this is nothing new. But the thing that's different about San Francisco to keep an eye on Sunday is how they run the ball. They use the two tight ends, three tight ends, a fullback. So they are running the ball, and it puts your defense under a lot of stress to get lined up and execute. The strength of Green Bay's defense is the duo, the Smith guys, and their ability to rush the passer. So now they're going to be lined up on tight ends the whole game, one tight end, two tight ends, and they're going to have to get off blocks. To me, that's going to be the biggest challenge that the Packers have. Will they be able to physically, because of the formations, be able to stop San Francisco's run game? And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I think it's going to be a great game.
And then the other side of the bracket, obviously, Dave, you got the Titans as the big surprise team thus far. I mean, my God, to go in and win at New England and beat Belichick, and then to come back and go to Baltimore and beat the nominal coach of the year in Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh, and obviously to beat the would be MVP or will be MVP. Now they go in and they face last year's MVP, and Andy Reid has been at it for 21 years, and all of these other coaches combined have 6 years experience as a head coach. So can they do it again? Do you give them more than a puncher's chance?
Yes, I do, and I'll tell you what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to hold on to the football, obviously, you know, with Derrick Henry. But look at the running stats. Because I wanted to talk about this last Sunday on my show, and I was going to say, oh, well, Tennessee doesn't come up with any big plays running the ball. They're contentious running it. That's wrong. I think they're in the top 15 in the league, maybe better than that, in big plays on offense. So I think that, you know, they're going to try to play keep away. They're going to try to play keep away, which anybody would, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands as much as you can. But the thing that's I think the unknown factor here is Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you know, as great as that kid's played all year, and he's won games in the playoff now, I think everybody's still, is this for real? And they are right now, I think they're the number one scoring offense, Tennessee is, in the red zone. They're scoring touchdowns almost 80% of the time, which is unheard of. So if they can move the ball and get in position, they found a way to score points. You know, it's probably going to be a better game. I don't think they can score enough points to beat Kansas City. But I'll tell you what, it's I mean, they're sure as heck not going to be intimidated. The weather up there, the climate up there, the noise up there, with the style of offense that Tennessee runs, that is not going to be a factor. In fact, it might even help them at the end of the day.
Dave, thanks a ton. We appreciate it. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.